Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. And I'm your host, John Hansen. And on today's show, as I promised last week, we have an interview with Barry DeMay himself. Barry DeMay, the Flying Dutchman from the 80s, was one of the best bodybuilders of the 1980s. Placed in the top five in several Mr. Olympias and took third place in the 1988 Mr. Olympia, which was his peak. Barry was a very popular bodybuilder, a really good-looking guy, about 6 feet tall, blonde hair, really great physique, very aesthetic and very massive at the same time, had really good leg development. And so in part one of our interview today, we are going to talk to Barry about how he got started in bodybuilding. He's from Holland, and we're going to talk about his career, which started off really, really strong. Barry was one of the youngest guys to win the Mr. Europe contest. So if you think about it, the Mr. Europe is about the same as the Nationals. And he was only 20 years old when he won that contest, which is amazing. Then he went on to compete in the Mr. Universe at, I think he was 21, 22 years old. He took second to Bob Paris. Then he took second to Mike Christian. And then he finally got his pro card in 1985 when he won the World Games. So we're going to talk about all those contests, as well as the first couple of Mr. Olympias that he did. So that is going to be a very good interview, and we're going to do that in a minute. But first, I want to mention that we are brought to you by our sponsor, Old School Labs. I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. It's the brand I used to win the Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012. You may have heard of their award-winning fat burner, Vintage Burn, which is the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, the two-stage pre-workout, or Vintage Brawn, which is the triple protein isolate powerhouse that's packed with eggs, milk, and beef protein. Their products have no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Old School Labs is also the home of 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Banoot and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you will get 12% off your order when you go to oldschoollabs.com. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right. So yeah, in addition to that Barry DeMay interview that we have today, I also put up a video on YouTube of the same interview. So if you are on YouTube, you can check that out. And because it's a video, I was able to add some contest clips. So that's pretty cool, and some pictures. So if you want to check that out after listening to the podcast, you can do that. And I am almost back to training, believe it or not. This is now going to be my 6 week off after my hernia surgery, which I had on August 15th. So I think I'm going to hit the gym tomorrow on Monday, a couple days early. Just going to go light for a couple weeks and take it easy, and then finally get back into regular training probably another couple weeks. So I am really looking forward to it because I'm dying to get back in shape. One thing I noticed when I saw this video of me and Barry was how fat my face was. Not that I put on so much fat, but I was kind of bulked up to begin with when I had the surgery. And I haven't been able to lose anything in the last 6 weeks because I haven't done anything. So I'm ready to get back to training, man. I want to get in shape, get back on my diet and get in shape. So that is what I'm looking forward to. I've really been enjoying Frank Zane's new book. It's called The Zane Bodybuilding Manual, and it's kind of an expensive book. You can get it on Frank Zane's website, frankzane.com, but it's really big. It's like, let's see how many pages it's got. I think it's over 400 pages. So it's really like everything that Frank Zane's learned in his career, which he is now 77 years old, and he started training at 14, so it's been a lifetime of training. And one of the parts, I'm still in the beginning of the book, but one of the parts I'm really appreciating, or I'm really enjoying, I should say, is he goes over all his contests, all his major contests. So he starts off with the 1968 Mr. America that he won, and then the 1968 Mr. Universe where he beat Arnold, and the 1969 Mr. World, And then he went over to NABBA and competed in the universe there, and he won that in 70 and 72. And then in 71, he competed against Bill Pearl. And then in 72, he started competing in the Olympia. So he competed in 72, when that was the one where Sergio and Arnold really had their big battle. And he talks about 74 and 75 when he wasn't at his best. And then 76, 77, 78, 79, and then all the way into 80 and 82 and 83, which was his last contest. So he really goes over each contest pretty extensively. So really, I learned a lot. I thought I knew a lot about Frank Zane, which I did, but I'm learning even more by reading his book. He's really an interesting person. I can't wait to get him on the show one day. I'm going to try and finish up this book first so I have this background information, and then I think I'm going to contact Frank Zane and try to get him on the show. And if I have to go out and do it in person out in California, then I'll try to make that happen, whatever it takes. All right, we did get some emails about last week's show with Jim Seitzer. I thought that was a really good interview that Jim did. Jim was one of the top bodybuilders in the 1970s. So many of you may not have been aware of him. I'm sure all you old school hardcore guys were, but a lot of people were not aware of Jim Seitzer. So I thought Jim did a really good job on the interview. Rich Fitter sent us an email and he said, I really enjoyed this interview. When I had just started lifting, I remember an article in MTI, Muscle Training Illustrated, called, I think, Jim Seitzer is a hulker and a bulker, and I was really impressed at how much size he packed onto his frame. It's great to hear someone who has accomplished so much speak so humbly about his achievements. And then Randy Phillips emailed us, and he said, I just finished a workout, great interview, Semper Fi. And James Burris said, I second that, great interview. And then we did get some more comments on the Apple Podcast page. So if you listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, go to the Apple Podcast page under Bodybuilding Legends and you can leave a review. And I got three new reviews here in the last month, and they were all five-star reviews. So that's great. This one was from TSG2513, and he says, my commuting companion, the Legends podcast makes my six-hour round-trip weekly commute manageable. Keep up the great work, John. You are a credit to the bodybuilding community. And this one is from iBaptist, and he says, review of best bodybuilding podcast, the best insight. John is great, and the interviews are legendary. I love it. I love it. Keep it up, John. And then this last one is from Jay Hum, and he said, absolutely the best podcast. This podcast transports me back to the golden era of bodybuilding. John is absolutely an amazing interviewer. Keep up the good work, and I hope you achieve your dream of interviewing Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right. Thank you very much, guys, for those. And like I said, if you guys want to leave a review, just go to the Apple Podcast and under Bodybuilding Legends, you can rate the show and then leave a review. I would really appreciate that. And if you have any emails you want to send me, just send them to my email, naturalolympia@gmail.com. Any comments about the show or if you want to talk about this week's show with Barry DeMay, because I'm sure you guys are going to love this. All right. Before we get to our interview with Barry DeMay, I want to also mention our other sponsor, which is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. Their certified and knowledgeable staff will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number out here in Tampa, Florida, which is 813-922-8939. Again, that's 813-922-8939. Or you can just go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. And if you mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, they will give you a free consultation. Plus, they'll give you 20% off your first order. If you guys have any ideas for any more magazine articles you want me to read, just send me an email at naturalolympia@gmail.com. I've got a bunch of old Ironmen and muscle builders. If you're looking for more contest reports like we talked about before, or even nutrition articles or personality profiles, just send me an email. Let me know. Let me know who you'd like to hear from. I got a bunch of old magazines here, so we could start that again next week when we do part two of our interview with Barry DeMay. All right, so that is it for our opening, and here is our interview, part one, with the great Barry DeMay. Hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends Show, and I have a very special guest with me today. We're out in Las Vegas, and it's Mr. Barry DeMay himself. Barry, how you doing?
Good. Also, I need to be, otherwise you're twice as big as me. Look at him.
Let me go back. There we go.
This might be even funny to put in there. You know, I think we should do the interview like this.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing.
Okay.
All right,
so Barry, tell me about your career. When did you get started training? How old were you?
I wanted to go like be a military guy.
Oh, okay.
From a young age on, I'm talking about 12, 13, 14 years old. Mm-hmm. I was doing push-ups, and in the garage of my father, I was chinning myself and running through the fields with my dog and with weights on my back.
Yeah.
All for one purpose, to go like in the commandos.
Huh. So what got you inspired to do that?
Well, I don't know. You know, in sports at school, everything that was like a challenge that attracted me.
Hmm.
And at that point, in that age, that was the only thing that I knew that was attracted to me.
And where did you grow up? You grew up in
In Holland.
Yeah.
A little closer for the triceps, of course. in Holland. So yeah, that was pretty young. And the first time I went to the gym, that was for that reason.
Okay.
I went to the gym because I wanted to go to boxing and maybe lift a little bit weights. And all I knew about bodybuilding was that I thought it was disgusting. I thought there were frogs with oil on and they were bloating and all that. I didn't like it at all.
Right.
So, but that first gym, you know, I still want to go into the military. I wanted to train hard and be the best in that.
Okay.
I was 17 at that time, and there were three posters in the gym. It was Arnold, Frank Zane, and Serge Gainsbourg.
Wow.
And then I thought by myself, when I looked at those guys, well, I said, oh, if this is bodybuilding, and I really like looked at myself, they look like this, like in years and years of training.
Yeah.
I can do that, because that were the physiques that the first pictures that I saw of bodybuilders that I really liked.
Okay. So you started working out when you were 12, 13. So now you're 17 and you see these pictures.
Yeah.
So what did your physique look like at 17?
Well, I'll tell you the story from the first time that I was in the gym. Because I went to the instructor and I said, well, please, can you tell me what to do? And he really was getting mad on me, because he said, well, what do you mean? You work out, you've been in the gym. So no, it's my first time in the gym. So I always, as a young guy, always had abs. I always, like, you know, I was always like built well.
Were you just tall too?
Yeah. And not just because I did the push-ups, but I think just the genetics, you know, my bone structure always was with the wide shoulders and the narrow waist. And after my first training, I realized, I went back to my mother, I went back to my house and said to my mother, listen, Mom, I know what I'm going to do in life. And she was like almost relieved. Oh, you're not going in the army? Maybe like a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer?
She didn't want to be in the military.
Yeah, she didn't really like it. So no, Mom, I'm going to be a world champion bodybuilder. So then she said, are you sure you don't want to be in the military? So there was, that's really, it happened like that.
Yeah.
And to make a long story short, the first time that I went in that gym, I trained really, really hard. And the next day, I remember, I was all sore. My muscles were like, you know, it was all aching and hurting.
Yeah.
And that feeling I never experienced before, you know, from my own training.
Because before this, you were just doing calisthenics and stuff. You weren't doing weights.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so, but in my mind was, well, this is a great feeling. And I was thinking, this pain, that means it's growing.
Yeah.
So the next day I went to the gym, did the same thing again. It was even hurting more. So I I have to do it again. So the first week was like a disaster as far as the training plan.
Right.
But I told my mother after that first week, I'm going to be world champion in a couple of years. Mm. And that's, well, the rest is history.
Now, did you know anything about bodybuilding except for those three posters?
No, not at all.
You didn't know about the titles or the organizations or anything?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So really, you know, the, what I liked about it, like the athletic look, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was the post of Arnold, this famous like bicep shot.
Yeah.
Frank Zane, of course, is still, in my opinion, the best built physique ever.
Oh yeah.
Serge Nubrid, you know, doesn't need an introduction.
Yeah.
He got all those lines, and
so they were not only bodybuilders, they're aesthetic. They look great. Yeah.
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 But besides that, I really like the results of weightlifting and, you know, those bodybuilders. What I also liked was the training itself. Everything that I've done in my life, I'm 57 now, and it's nothing really changed. Everything that I do, I can do it at all or go all the way.
Okay.
And bodybuilding, before I did like other sports, like also like being an athlete and like even a little soccer and all those kind of things. But the kind of training that I found in the garage of my dad that was similar to the challenge that was in the gym. But the gym was at a totally different level.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, bodybuilding is the most personalized sport there is. You can really set your borders and you can really go as far as you want.
Yeah.
And besides that, it's like running any other sport, boxing. You train for it, and after your training, then it's done. Bodybuilding is a sport 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I just like the whole package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're a photographer, too, so you have an artistic bent. Do you think that also appealed to you about bodybuilding, was the aesthetics and the artistic part of it?
Well, I became a professional photographer, like, later. I did, like a four-year education for that.
Okay.
But at the time, and I realized this must have been the case, that
yeah.
The aesthetic thing. Because I was into making drawings and all those kind
yeah,
of things. So
yeah.
then, without even knowing it, that was the thing.
It had like a natural inclination for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what body parts grew fast on you? Because I know you always had really good legs. Was that like a body part that grew real quick?
For sure.
Yeah.
I remember being a teenager, you know, we were talking about like in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fashion was like the tights. Or tight on the legs and
yeah.
then the white sleeves on the end.
Yeah.
And I didn't fit them well. All my friends, they were really looking cool and sharp,
yeah.
but I didn't fit. They were really tight on my
yeah.
yeah, they were really tight on my neck.
Right.
At that time, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was at a younger age. Now that I'm older, I realized that I'm still able to keep my size on my legs because it's like a natural thing on me.
Yeah, yeah. So when did you get in mind that you wanted to compete?
That first week?
The first week?
The first week.
Okay.
No, the first, I mean, I was real serious. I said,
yeah.
I will become the world champion.
Yeah.
The first week, that was the first week. The second week, I bought the book of Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Education of a Bodybuilder.
Right.
Just imagine, that was day 10 of my workout experience. I bought the book. The first thing that I do, I took a pen and I practiced my... Oh, I already practiced before, but I put my signature in there, in the book, with world champion.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, now it's all of a funny story, you know, on birthday parties, you know, it's a story that does really well.
Yeah.
But realizing that, it proves that if you are convinced, not just saying, but convinced you will do something,
yeah.
you are able to do it.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
So what age was your first contest
then? It was 1980.
80, okay.
Yeah, it was 1980. I trained seriously for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother, Jürgen de May, who always stood next to me, you know, he was 4 years younger than me. We made a whole road plan from national champion, European champion, world champion. So the first step in that plan was to go and watch the show,
okay.
see what it was all about.
Because yeah.
I only knew those pictures and all those posters. So I asked the gym owner, you know, on Saturday, can we drive with you? We want to see that show. He said, of course you can drive with me. And we were really happy.
Mm-hmm.
says, there's only one condition. So, well, name it. I do it. I want to go there. You have to compete. So he said, well, what do you mean compete? So I said, you'd have to compete.
And you never saw a show.
I never saw a show. So Jürgen and me, we made plan B. Doesn't matter, you know, what we do, we take our number for, you know, from our trunk.
Yeah.
Then we go backstage, we go in the audience and go and see what all those guys are doing.
Okay.
And I just copy it.
Right.
So what I did, I pulled number one. So, plan C. Plan C was there. So, I mean, I knew the magazine, so I knew how they were standing, but I had no idea that they were making all those flows in between.
Right.
So I was like this, and then I'm thinking, well, maybe that. Again, a long story short, I won the show.
You won the show.
Yeah.
What was the name of the show? Do you remember?
Iron Man.
Iron Man, okay.
And that was like 10 days before that I asked the gym owner, you know, can I come with you? He said, yeah, of course you have to compete. So I asked all the big guys in the gym, what should I do? And they all said, oh, you have to eat a lot of chicken. My mother bought for 10 days 3 chickens a day. That's for 10 days I only ate chicken.
Right.
Yeah.
No carbs. Just
just carbs.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
protein, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But I won the show.
Was this an open show or it wasn't teenage, right? Because you were still a teenager.
Yeah, no, there was like, it was not an open show. It was like a junior show.
Junior, okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of feedback did you get after the show? Like, did the judges talk to you or?
You know, in Holland we say we've got a red line through the whole story of my life.
Uh-huh.
And what happened then, there was one guy who was like, he was kind of famous, you know, he was supposed to win. And
right.
In his clothes, he was big. And I didn't really have training clothes.
Yeah.
So I borrowed the training jacket of my dad.
Yeah.
That was much way too big.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't really noticed until we had to warm up.
Right.
I took my shirt off. And the guy who was supposed to win, he said, if you were going to win, I'm going home naked. But I'm on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, there's another thing to it. You know, we knew we had to, you know, those guys were tanning themselves. That was the beginning of the tanning stuff. So we bought like a makeup.
Okay.
And on the directions of the bottle set, taking cutting and like dip or how you put it like real carefully. But it was for the face. My brother worked for 3 hours on my whole body.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's wild. So was your brother in the show, too?
No. I just turned 17 at the moment, and he was 4 years younger.
Okay. So what was the next one after that, then? Or what were your feelings after that? I mean, you won your first show. That had to really be a boost to your ego, huh?
Well, that night we had to go home, and you know the gym owner put us off in Rotterdam. You know, the gym was in Rotterdam, and we lived in a little farmer's place.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how to get home. Hijacking.
Not hijacking. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So that the police stopped us, took us with them because they thought I stole the trophy somewhere. But we were just smiling the whole time.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. That was the first competition, and well, that went all a little bit quicker than our plan.
Yeah.
The next plan was, well, like, there was in 1980. So I was supposed to, in our plan, to be national champion with the juniors in 82.
Okay.
So I did one competition before that. But in 82, I was supposed to be in our plan to be Dutch champion.
Okay.
And the next year was trying to compete at the junior still, at the European Championship.
Okay.
So now we're in 82, and the Dutch Federation said, well, you know, you can compete. You were able to compete, but we advise you to compete with the seniors, with the open class, with the big guys. Say, yeah, but I'm a junior. Well, do it, because otherwise, you know, there's no competition for you. Said, no, Jürgen and me back to the drawing board, and we said, well, that might be good for the experience. I won the show. And you know, what comes next, that is for me like a milestone in my career, and I'm still, you know, of course, about all the other accomplishments.
Yeah.
But I'm still proud of this one.
Wow.
No, the one is still coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that. Because I won at the seniors, being 20 years at the time,
okay,
I was qualified to go to the European Championships for the same to compete in the Open.
Right.
So they said, well, why don't you compete? I said, well, it's not a part of the plan. Well, you're going to meet, talk together, so it would be good for your experience. So I competed at the Open, big guys, and I won.
This is a European Championship.
European Championship,
Europe. Yeah.
You're like big guys, Joseph Vasily from Czechoslovakia,
yeah,
like really big guys.
Yeah.
They were competing, and well, I won that show as well. And the only one that ever won the European Championships as in being a junior at the Open senior class is Arnold Schwarzenegger. So
wow.
He and me.
Yeah,
are the only one who did it.
And you were 20 years old.
I was 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you must have had amazing genetics for the sport then, right, Barry? Because
yeah,
it was like right from the start you were doing really well.
Yeah, it was like the muscles were just putting on, and I was lean already by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But, well, you, when I became professional, you followed me, and there were a few things. I always did something that I, you know, that I made me stood out, you know, that I had the attention.
Yeah.
Those guys from the East Bloc countries, they all wearing black trunks and all that.
Yeah.
And at that time, you didn't have all the colorful, you know, posing trunks, not
right
at all. So we went to a ballerina shop.
Huh.
And we bought like a suit of a ballerina because that was the fabric that could stretch in both ways.
Oh, okay.
And I made a turquoise posing slip of it.
Wow.
So I was already, I dyed my hair.
Did you?
At that point, we really knew how to tan.
Yeah.
So I dyed my hair. I got the turquoise posing trunk, and I was really dark.
Wow.
But, you know.
So you had all the finishing touches.
Yeah, but
no one else
I mean. Let's be honest. That was not the reason. I was ripped, and of course, you know, I had the right proportions. So
yeah,
the whole thing.
Wow. And, what did you weigh for that show? Do you remember?
Light. I was light. I mean, I can send you a picture of it.
Yeah.
I must have weighed about only like 95 kilograms.
Okay.
Maybe even 94.
Wow. And what year was this now? 1982.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was reading the magazines back then. I remember reading about you because they said you were the youngest European winner ever, only 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know,
well, so. Yeah, next to Arnold.
Yeah.
The thing was, you remember Arnold Tenney?
Yeah.
The
yeah
rider?
Mm-hmm.
He was there for Muscle Fitness.
Oh, was he? Okay, yeah.
And he used to be a bodybuilder. He was a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
So he noticed the blonde guy with the turquoise
right
pants and everything.
Right.
So he, even before the show, he said, well, can we do an interview? I said, yeah, of course. My English was even worse than now. I said, of course. So I said, for where is it for? For the national or for the town's newspaper?
Yeah.
No, for Muscle Fitness.
Right.
So there was my first article in Muscle Fitness.
Wow.
You remember, they had, back in the days, we were waiting at the newsstand to come out and what's next in the magazine, who won it. And we had that one article always in the back called The Champ.
Yeah.
The champ. And I was the champ. And
wow,
for weeks or maybe like 2-3 months, I was waiting at the newsstand
right
to come out.
Because it took like 3 months for it to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So,
yeah. So after you won the Mr. Europe, then, I guess you saw it. Okay, now the next plan is the universe, right? You got to go on Mr. Universe.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So
it was called that year was World Champ in 1983.
Yeah.
In
Singapore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shape, my condition in 1983 is still very impressive to myself. My body was little, my waist was small. But we all know who competed for the U.S.
Bob Paris.
Bob Paris.
Yeah.
And he just finished. He just won a show, beating Rory Liedermeyer.
Right.
I think Rich was competing in another.
No, he was against
Rich Gaspari, Mike Christian.
Matt Mendenhall.
Matt Mendenhall.
Yeah.
So he was like the guy to beat.
Right,
And even today, I'm recently in contact with Bob again, and he still, you know, he writes on social media, that could have been either way. And, but I, you know, first of all, we were way ahead with our plan.
Yeah.
So to be second behind Paul Paris, that was like a, or something that I was, I'm still really proud of.
Yeah. Did you know about Paris before you got there?
No.
You know, you never heard of him in the magazines or anything? Okay. So that had to be amazing, though. You're in the Mr. Universe at 21 years old.
Yeah.
And you take second place.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and then next year, we had the then they called, nay, that was in 83, it was called the World
Amateur Championship. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in 83, I think that was, 84, it was for the last time, they called it the Mr. Universe in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, yeah.
In here in Caesar Palace.
Yeah, yeah.
And that year, as far as condition wise, I don't believe it was my best year. I put it on some mass, but a lot of guys who put on mass, they don't have that detail anymore. That's what happened. I was in decent shape.
Yeah.
But I placed second behind my Christian.
Yeah.
And I think that was fair.
That was a fair decision. Yeah. Yeah, that was a contest that was covered on ESPN.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of coverage. I remember watching that at home, and that was great. Yeah. You got some real good. And they, you know, the way they were saying in the contest was it was really, really tight between you guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of disappointing when you lost, but still, you're only 22 at the time, right?
22. And the funny thing is, because I was in that Champ Muscle Fitness article.
Right.
At Commerce, you know, you had an eye on me, and Joe Weider knew me.
Yeah.
So in 83, I had a call from Ed Corners, do you want to come out, you know, train here?
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, this is, I mean, here, I was so young and to go there. Ed Corners, he always like picked like upcoming stars.
Right.
And
right.
I was there for 3 months.
In California?
In California.
Wow.
In 83, before Singapore, even.
Wow, okay.
But that's how I got to know Lee, or my Christian.
Okay.
So I knew him pretty well. So in 84, we were competing together.
Okay.
We always have been good friends.
Yeah.
And
so tell me about that experience, about training at Gold's Gym in 1983. That would be wild.
Well, like I said, you know, to me, that was Gold's Gym. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ed Connors picked me up, and a friend of me, he could come with me to stay at this place.
Right.
He picked us up, and I didn't sleep for about 3 nights, not really. and the first thing, I only said to him in the car, you know, can we go to Gold Gym first?
Yeah.
And I remember I was keep on telling Ed, it's just like the movie here. It's just like the movie here. So I always wanted to live in the U.S. when I was a kid.
Right.
So that was like, and then now we're talking about 1983. Barbarians were training in Gold's Gym.
I was going to ask you who was there. Yeah,
that was like some atmosphere right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably Samir, right? Samir,
there were all
Tom
the guys.
Yeah.
And that was the first time in my life I hit the 100 kilogram on the scale.
Okay.
You have to figure out in pounds.
Yeah.
So that's... Yeah, a little story to it. You edit, right?
Yeah.
So, we went to, me and my friend went for a pizza one day, and we ordered, we used to order a pizza, and we ordered both a pizza, and the lady said, you want both a pizza or you want a slide of pizza? You told, of course we have both of a pizza. But then two pizzas like this arrived,
right.
And we didn't want to, you know, we want to show... Didn't want to show the lady that we couldn't eat.
Right.
So we eat it all. We drank a lot of water because we were thirsty.
Shit.
Afterwards, we drove to Gold's Gym to weigh ourselves.
Right.
That's when I hit the scale of 100 kilograms.
So you always have pretty fast metabolism. It was always kind of hard to gain weight?
No, it was not really
not hard.
Okay. It was.
But you always stayed lean, it seemed like.
Yeah. And that's because of the fast metabolism.
Yeah.
Well, besides that, We probably come to that later. I'm a believer of not bulking up, you know, too heavy.
Okay.
Now,
when you were along like this, Barry, what bodybuilders really inspired you? Was it Arnold, probably one of them, because he was tall and he was from Europe also?
Arnold, for all the reasons that we know for, you know, what he accomplished in the sport.
Yeah.
But Arnold is something else.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole character, his person and everything. That's,
yeah.
In 83 was the first time that I met him.
Okay.
So that was like unbelievable.
What was that like? Do you remember what he was doing? Or
yeah, I think he just finished like filming for Conan the Barbarian around that time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So he was actually training with Frank Columba on the deck of World Gym on Main Street there. So you see those groupies, fan people, like just not saying that much and with their mouth open.
Right.
Oh, that's how I was.
did you go up to him and introduce yourself? And
yes. Yeah. And he was nice and and you know, I tried to explain that I also won the European Championship.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, being from Europe and you're a young guy, tall guy, good looking, and, you know, he probably took a liking to you right away, huh?
Yeah, that, you know, to go back to the 1983 universe, mm-hmm. I took second place, and I still, if I rewind the videotape, Joe is holding our hands up, you know, and he just, Mike Christian was announced as a winner.
Yeah.
And he is talking to me like, and I know exactly what he said.
Yeah, what is that?
During the ceremony, when I took second place, he said, "Barry, come to California. I make you a star. I will pay everything for you."
Wow.
Well, he didn't say make a star yet, but he said, "Well, let's do photo shoot and all that."
Yeah,
So there was another moment in my life.
Now, was that the first time you met Joe Weider? 84?
No, that was 83.
Oh, 83.
Because of my article in the champ.
And
he always has been, a lot of people are saying it, but he really always has been a father to me.
So when you went to California in 83, when was the last time you went there? Was it a couple of years later?
Well, 84. Because of Vegas, for photo shoots and everything.
Okay.
Then in 85, the Mr. Olympia was in Belgium, was held in Belgium. And, you know, Belgium and Holland, you know, they speak the same language.
Yeah.
So the promoter, Julien Bomar at the time, said, "Barry, I'll get you a special invitation. Of course, I will attract, or you will sell more tickets." Mm-hmm. A lot of people said. And I was really stubborn. I'm still. I really am bored if I have, because Jürgen and me had a plan.
Yeah.
No, we have to be world champion, then turn pro.
Right.
So I was going, my plan was to go to win the world championship. But then the opportunity was there with the World Games in 1985.
Right.
And it was about 8 weeks, 12 weeks before the Olympia 85.
Okay.
And I said, well, that's a good one. If I win that one, then I'm a world champion. Then I'm legally qualified,
right,
and then I feel I belong there.
Right, right.
So in 85, now we're in 85, and I learned from Mike Christian of the weigh-in in 84 that he kind of pumped up and oiled up for the weigh-in, just to weigh in. So that's what I all copied from him in 85.
Right.
So, and probably Mike did the same thing, and I did as well. And with the weight in, we probably won the show already.
Right.
So, 85, I won. Matt Mendenhall's competing.
Yeah.
Matt Mendenhall, who was a very, very good friend at the time, because he was also staying at house.
Oh, really?
In 83.
So you met him back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So Ed Connors used to just bring people over, and they would just stay at his house and train at the gym and stuff. Huh?
But if you look at history, it was not just people. Everybody that he picked, he was like a bodybuilding scout.
Yeah.
Everybody that he picked became a star.
Right.
And he didn't do anything. He didn't introduce us to Joe Weider. So the career of those bodybuilders, they developed themselves.
Right.
But he had the right eye for it.
Yeah, he had a good eye for it. Yeah. You're right. He was like a talent scout.
Yeah.
So tell me about that 85 World Games, because the World Games, for people that don't know, that was held every 4 years, right? That was kind of like an alternative to the Olympics.
Exactly.
So that was for like sports that weren't in the Olympic Games, but that were trying to get in the Olympic Games. So it was a big deal for bodybuilding to be in there. And every 4 years it was held. So.
Yeah.
And then if you won that, it was considered like winning the universe. It was the same kind of status, right?
Yeah. So there I won the show, and then I was like qualified in the mind of my brother, Jürgen, and me, and I. Yeah, well, I was ready to go in the Olympia a couple of months later.
What did you think of Mendenhall when you competed against him?
met men and all, talking about something with talent, somebody with talent.
Yeah.
Matt got his 3D calves, his swipe on the sweep on his legs, his waist, he got everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that he needed at that time to become a really, really good champion with it all, he needed a coach like me that I'm not now today.
Right.
So
Matt couldn't, he always had, like you said, he had this great genetics, but he just couldn't really nail his conditioning. He was always a little bit off,
And
you were great in that show. I mean, you were tan, you were ripped. I mean, it seemed like out of the two universes in the World Games, I think the World Games was really your peak, right? Yeah. You were best at all three,
Every competition has like something extra to it.
Yeah.
Because you never guess who was in that show.
Dorian. Did you notice him at all?
Well, I noticed that this kid, was complete.
Yeah.
And he had a good, I mean, he was all proportioned very well.
Right, right.
And well, in the 90s, he set a new standard in the sport.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to talk to him? Did he talk to you or anything?
Not really. No.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just it was at Wembley Theater at the moment and at that time, and we just were in there, did our thing, and I also remember at night I couldn't sleep, and I had my medal on and just walking in London for hours. Just, it happened. You know,
right.
It happened.
Right.
But then I was qualified for the 85 Olympia.
Yeah.
And
so how'd you feel about going into that?
Well, like any of those competitions before, let's go in for the experience.
Yeah.
Never realizing at the time that I became in the finals. I took sixth place.
Yeah.
That by itself is something, spectacular. But the thing that I was even more spectacular for me in my head, I looked up to Tom Platz, Sergio Oliva.
Yeah.
Those guys were in their show.
Yeah.
I was not just standing next to them. I won from them.
Yeah, you beat them.
So that was like one.
Wow.
I was like from face to face, had one smile.
Yeah.
Rich was the youngest. He still is the youngest competitor ever in the Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
He was 22 and I was 23 at the time.
Right, right.
And Rich became third or fourth.
Third, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He did great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Haney first, Beckles was second, right?
Yeah.
And then Rich was third, and then McAway was fourth, and Christian was fifth, and you were sixth. Yeah.
But
I remember I saw that one on ESPN also, and the crowd was going crazy for you. You were posing to Madonna, right?
Yeah. What I've always did, first of all, there was a lot of Dutch people in the crowd, of course. But what I always have did in the past, or as a professional, I always... like the psychology of the like a psychologist, his profession, how do you call that? I always am interested in that, and you can actually use that with your posing.
Yeah.
So most of the time what I did, I had like in my first part of my routine, my posing routine, I used the kind of music that I wasn't really smiling that much, and I was hitting poses. But the crowd really didn't have the opportunity to go all out.
Yeah.
To express what I saw and felt.
Right.
So that was like a build up. And then the second part of the music, music by itself was already, they wanted to scream.
Right.
And then I started smiling and made the connection with the audience.
Right.
And that's a mind game, and you can use all those kinds of things as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Barry, because we're in Las Vegas for the Mr. Olympia 2019 now, and we just saw the show last night, and I didn't see any routines where they connected with the audience. You know, I mean, there was a couple routines that were well done, but did you notice that? Like, a lot of the music they picked, it was like rap music, or it was like heavy metal music. It didn't connect with the audience. Like, That music at that time, Madonna, was a super popular song. And like you said, the crowd went nuts.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I didn't understand the music yesterday, what they're using for prejudging as well.
Yeah.
They got that really loud,
real
hard
heavy rock, metal, yeah.
Heavy
yeah.
metal. So, and then you're right. You know, it seems like that all the guys, they, you know, they all have big size and they want to make that kind of impression, you know, with just be aggressive and show the size and everything. But, you know, there's not really a connection.
Yeah.
They all ask, like, come on, crowd, make some more noise.
Yeah, they're always going like this.
Yeah, but, I mean, you shouldn't have to do this.
No,
you
know? Never.
So the music, you have to play with your posing.
Right.
Well, that's why I was, after the prejudging of the men's open, I was really looking forward to see the classic.
Yeah.
Classic physique.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they made up for it.
Yeah, they did better. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And well,
but I'm surprised more competitors don't use more popular music, you know, like there was one guy, Juan Morel, I think he just had a kid and he posed to a song from Creed, which was about having a baby, which I thought that was actually pretty moving, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised more people don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, where did you learn how to pose from? I mean, were you inspired by different bodybuilders at that time? Because posing back then, I think, was more of an art form, right?
It is, but. No, we just, you know, we knew. First of all, I think judging, bodybuilding judging, every round you have to look for the same criteria.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, other rounds you have to do the poses that you need to do, you know, the compulsory, mandatory poses. The posing routine is not about posing. It's, they still have to look for the same things.
Yeah.
Except, as an athlete, you have the opportunity to hide your weak points and show your good points.
Yeah.
And that's what we use. Because and that's, people are not using that.
Right.
And so the posing routine and the music, you can use the emotions and, you know, show your best poses, even poses that you invented yourself that suit your body.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, you know, I think on my posing routine, I always scored some extra points.
Yeah, I'm surprised more people, especially now with YouTube, if they have a great routine, you know, that'll be played. I mean, I'm watching stuff on YouTube from, you know, you, Lee Labrada, Muhammad McAway, 20, 30 years ago, you know, and it's still being watched because it was so good.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's one guy, I must say, yesterday was overlooked. For me, he could have been in top six. If I'm correct, I think his name was Patrick Moore.
Patrick Moore, yeah, I said the same thing.
That was like classic.
Amazing,
like,
yeah.
He got like the waist, he got the definitions in the muscle, in the body parts itself.
Yeah.
The separation between the muscle parts as well.
Yeah.
And yeah,
he had a good routine.
And he had a beautiful routine.
Yeah. I said the same thing. I was so mad at the prejudging when he wasn't called out for first call out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, that's a sport, you know. It's also psychology, you know. The judges know we are all humans, so we have a certain idea about the competitions and the come out, and unconsciously you that's how you see and start judging, and you ask for the guys that you think should be in there.
But I was really happy that the crowd really reacted when he posed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think the crowd could see that this guy was really good. You know?
Give him about 2-3 years.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. As long as he doesn't ruin his lines, as long as he doesn't get too big, you know. Yeah. So going now from 85, we go into 86. So before the Olympia, didn't you do the Night of the Champions also?
Yeah, that was my first. Well, you did your homework.
Yeah.
I did my first professional show then, in the Night of the Champions.
Okay.
That
was a little controversy there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people only saw me at the night show.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought I should have done better.
Yeah.
But I was much better at the night show.
Okay.
So I really understood how they judged. I wasn't at my best.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
In particular in the prejudging, during prejudging, I wasn't at my best. And the only difference that I did, I had a whole bag of chips after the prejudging, and I looked better.
Oh, really?
I was still kind of looking what the best way, how long I have to, what kind of period I have to drop my sodium, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, a bag of chips can do miracles.
Yeah. Because back then, you know, now today, again, talking about today's bodybuilding, there's all these contest prep coaches, you know, but back then, really, everybody did it on their own, right? You had to learn the sodium, the water, all that, the carbs, how to peak for a show, right?
Yeah, people are asking me, you know, how did you do it? Because, you know, you didn't have the internet and so and everything. So we really had to go to the library and ask a doctor about how the body works and most importantly, write down everything what you did and what happened to your body. So and the internet is great, but it's confusing because, for example, I'll just take a number. If there are 10 ways and somebody is doing this, another one, somebody else is doing that, it doesn't mean that this one is wrong or that they work both. But on the internet, people get confused and they start to do things of this way and this way. Then it won't work.
Right.
I mean, it's a protocol, a system that has to work. One and one is two.
Right.
You know, why are you doing that? And, well, I'm naming something really important for me at the time. Why are you doing that? If somebody told me or if I wanted to do something, I always ask why. Why? Even today, if your young kids come up to me, they ask me, well, I want to use steroids. You know, I want to use, what do you think of it? I said, for sure you have to do it. You have to take steroids. Really? Yes. If you can give me one answer, why?
Yeah.
Why? You want to go to like Marbella for a holiday or Hawaii for a holiday?
Right.
Then you're stupid.
Right.
But, you know, again, if you have a good reason, then that's maybe, well, that counts for everything in life.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, the internet is helpful, but it's also confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people today don't know the basics. You know, they just don't know how the body works because, unfortunately, I think a lot of bodybuilders, when they start competing, right away they get a coach, and the coach sets them up on a diet, so they don't learn how to do their own diet or how to do their own training. You know, they just rely on the coach for everything.
Yeah, the coach can know everything. You know, he can be Joe Weider. He can know, even if he knows everything.
Yeah.
There are certain things you have to listen to your body. And that's one of the main ingredients that you need to take in consideration for judgment and anticipation and and things that you have to do.
Right.
So, we'll probably come back to the other competitions, but now that we're on this point, I can tell you, after my career, I became a photographer, and in 2011, my nutrition line, there in the main nutrition.
Okay.
But the last couple of years, I'm coaching a few people, friends and celebrity in Holland that I made fit for the cover of Muscle Health, of Men's Health.
Uh-huh.
And I don't brag about a lot of things. You know, for example, I can't sing, I can't dance. I really can. Well, now I name things that I really, really can. But I can get anybody to look the way they want if they do what I say.
Huh.
I'm 100% sure I've proved it. It can be somebody who's like 20 pounds overweight. It can be somebody who's like, who wants to gain weight, or somebody who wants to get ready for a competition.
Okay.
I can tell you a little bit more about my coaching program.
Sure.
So people are asking me that. And in the last couple of years, I start writing it down. I start answering people.
So
yeah.
Is this personalized nutrition programs then for everybody?
Well, the thing is, on the market, what's on the market right now, like with online coaching is difficult.
Yeah.
It's like a protocol that is like that has to fit for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I just told you, know, if you have like 10 ways, they all can be good, and one will be better for the other, and you have to make it adjustable to somebody.
Right.
And the last couple of years, you know, I started to write down, and I kind of made the whole philosophy of my training and nutrition, and I call it the May 88, the method.
Okay.
The method.
Okay.
So then still, you don't have like an online product, because that's a book. Everybody can read it, and you know it. So the method is how it is on the website that people can read it. But there's also the May 88 guide. So if people need to make choices and what to do, eat less or more, then there's a guide who will like tell you, well, do I need to eat more calories? Do I add more calories or less calories? Mm. And it will just show you what to do.
Okay.
But one of the biggest unique things in there is that I don't know any program that works with macro, the ratio of macros is always a set ratio. That much protein percentage,
right.
Fat and carbohydrates. And with my philosophy, you can't do the same ratio for somebody who has a fast metabolism versus someone who has a slow metabolism.
Right.
Because if you do that, the guy with the fast metabolism will automatically have more protein. And so if somebody, for example, if you have two people and the one has a slow metabolism and the other have a fast metabolism, they kind of need the same amount of protein.
Mm.
You need to adjust it with carbs and fat. And there's nothing out there that does that. 2 years ago, I was writing down some number and do some calculation, and all of them all of a sudden had a formula. I thought, hey, this can be programmed.
Mm.
So it is programmed in the application at the platform, and people can use it day by day. They have a dashboard. They can fill things out, and they don't even have to think about if they need to eat more. I want to do this over.
Yeah, okay.
Because the thing is, with if you have a set ratio of macronutrients,
right.
Everything will change if you go up with your calories, if you go down with your calories. But with my program, it's built that it only fluctuates with the carbs and the fats. And on a daily basis, the May 88 guide will show you, you need to eat more calories or you need to add less calories. But you don't even have to think about the ratio.
Mm.
The calculations are all programmed in there.
Mm. Okay.
And it shows really now everybody has like his own dashboard. You can you can say what you do that day, what you train that day. You can add all the nutrition and everything will be calculated.
Mm.
So it's really unique in that aspect.
Oh, okay. So this is just launched now, and this is available for everybody around the world.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the good thing is that, you know, I'm a perfectionist. If I want to do something, I want to do it all the way. Of course, I want to sell. I want to sell a product. I want to make money with it.
Sure.
But, if I tell somebody, if you buy the cheapest membership, the Silver Package membership, you don't have any advice of, like, a coach or, like, in the Platinum version, my advice, they still can do it because it's all programmed and the guide and the method are available for people who don't have a coach.
Mm, okay. And I know you've worked on this for a long time. It took a while for you to get going. Yeah.
Because I've worked with a couple of programmers, now I've got a guy, he really understood what I meant. He's not into the sport, but he's like really good in programming stuff.
Okay.
And it was my idea, and we developed the whole thing. He did the programming.
Mm, okay.
Besides that, there's another thing to that. You know, I really consider myself an expert in experience. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a professional professor. But I'm on my team. We have Kas Fuchs. He's a scientist who also teaches in a university in Maastricht.
Oh, really?
In nutrition. So everything, all my ideas that I had from the 80s, in 88, that was my best result, the third place in the Olympia.
Right.
That's why I called the May 88.
Okay.
And all the experience that I had afterwards and that I learned, you know, what all the development and what happened in the industry, we always put that next to the latest scientists, the science. So it's not just a bodybuilder from the 80s who said, well, this is what I ate. No, we compare it and make it up to date for everybody. And you know, it's compared to the latest science.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
It's it took a long time, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really proud of it. When I said I want to be a world champion, and when I said I want to be in my best shape, it's the same thing. I don't launch this thing, the May88.com, the online coaching platform, until it's like 100%.
Okay.
And it is 100%.
Wow, that's awesome. Oh, I wish you the best luck with that. And I can tell you're in awesome shape.
Well,
all the time. Every time I see you, you're always ripped.
We talked about genetics, but you know, if you get older, your metabolism goes
down. Yeah, for sure.
And last year, I thought that it would take me another 6 months, you know, to be finished.
Yeah.
So then I thought by myself, well, if I'm going to launch that, I need to be an example.
Yeah.
Well, it took me a little bit longer, so that's why I'm...
You're still in shape.
Yeah. But I tell you one thing, Johan, it's the lifestyle that I like.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel much healthier.
Yeah.
You know, doing this lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk to you more about your training and diet now, but let's get back to the contest history. So you did that 86 Night of the Champions, and you weren't in the top five, right? Because I remember reading, I didn't go to that show, but I remember reading in the magazines, and they said the crowd was going crazy. They were booing when you didn't make the top five. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the finals was top five. I think I played six then or something.
Yeah, you were just out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? I had never had any problems with any placements.
Oh, really? Okay.
If I really wanted to control that, I had to pick another sport.
Yeah.
If you're a runner, you know, you can like call anybody like. Whatever you want,
yeah.
But the guy who finished first, you know, on the finish line,
right.
is the clear winner.
Right.
And this is a sport. And I always tell like young competitors when they start. Do your thing, and love what you do. You need to do like the process.
Right.
If you don't like the process, you never will make it.
Right.
And if you like the process, you like what you do. And if the day of the contest, you know, is there,
yeah.
you know, you've done everything, then you're finished and you just enjoy the rest of the day.
Right. And then you got to meet Lee LeBron at that show, right? Because he won that show.
Yeah, Lee won that show. And of course, that was, I think, was that Lee's first professional show?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Ron Love was second. Yeah.
Yeah, Ron Love was second. And, well, Lee, you know, I saw some footage from him, when he won the universe.
Yeah.
So he's, of course, we all know that he's he became a really good friends.
Yeah.
After the competition, we didn't know. You know, we only met briefly, like at breakfast one time.
Yeah.
But we were both invited to do guest pose in Hawaii.
I remember that. Yeah.
So we kind of flew, to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And. You know, we had a few days on the beach and had fun.
Yeah.
And that's when Lee start realizing that this Flexing Dutchman is a crazy one as well. Because, like I said, of course you can be bothered about placement. There's a lot of things you can be bothered about. Like,
right.
But, you know, for me, if I wake up in the morning, you know, and if I'm healthy.
Yeah.
That's a reason to make fun that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I remember they covered that in Muscle Mag International. They had some great pictures, you guys.
Yeah.
On the beach and stuff,
yeah.
Guest posing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, again, if you, it's not about the placement. If you don't like the process of this sport, you better can do something else because you never will make it.
Yeah, because it's a subjective sport, so you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly, yeah.
So now you got the Olympia in 86, and that's in Columbus, Ohio. So how were you feeling about that? Now, this is your second Olympia, and you know Lee Haney's up there, and Gaspari, of course, and Christian. So how did you feel you were going to do in that one in 86 when it was in Columbus?
I wanted to come in harder. I think I did. In 85, my first Olympia, when I placed sixth, I wasn't in that good condition as I was when I won the World Games just a couple of months earlier. So in 86, I came in a little bit lighter, I think, or maybe same weight, that I was like, I was harder. And I, instead of sixth place, I took fifth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was at that show. I remember you were really good shape in that show.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was that Olympia that I used this song.
Final Countdown?
The Final Countdown.
Yeah.
And Rich and me,
we
knew each other from the universe.
Yeah.
And Rich, I always have like certain names for all my friends in the sport. And Rich, I always call a puppy. With his puppy eyes, you know, even if he's angry, he's still because he's so enthusiastic about life and the sport and everything. So, and he was all excited because he had that music. And then we first had Josef Rumler or something.
Romulus, he had it too, right?
He had that music.
I got the tape, and there's like three guys that have that. Yeah.
So he came up to me. He said, "What is it? I checked it, and I was supposed to be the only one." With his puppy eyes, he never can get really mad. So I said, I'll tell you something, Rich. I got that music, too.
That was a popular song that year.
I turned place fifth. Then we go to 1987. I tried to came in bigger, and for some reason, everybody did that show.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, Rich was much bigger, too.
Rich was much bigger, and... Yeah.
Now, did you do any other shows that year, or just the Olympia?
It was we did the Grand. No, there were no Grand Prix in '86. So '87, that was just
the Olympia.
Just
okay.
Olympia.
All right.
Yeah, I consider 1987 my worst shape ever.
Oh, really?
Of all the Olympias.
Yeah. That was in Sweden, right?
It was in Sweden, and I remember Jim Mannion. Who is a really straightforward person.
Yeah.
And he said, "Barry, if you come in like this, you won't win it." And he didn't like my shape in the 85 Olympia either. He said, "You need to come in like how you won the world games."
Yeah.
He said it right after the Mr. Olympia in 87 in Sweden.
Okay.
Then we had like 3 weeks for all the Grand Prix. We did about six Grand Prix tour competition. And well, if Jim says something, you better listen because he's right.
Right.
So I improved. And the last competition, the last Grand Prix was in France. I used completely different music. I knew I was improved. I used Jennifer Rush, mm-hmm. the music. And afterwards, Jim told me, "That's the Barry I want to see."
Okay.
In 88.
Oh, 87. Let me take you back to 87. Didn't you... I saw the tape on that on ESPN, mm-hmm. and they did a short interview with you, and you said you were, you knew how to do the sodium and everything. So do you think it was just that you tried to come in bigger and you didn't diet down enough, or was it some kind of last-minute manipulation with the sodium and water and stuff?
Combination. My fat wasn't low enough.
Yeah.
And what you see, it's an amateur mistake.
Yeah.
If your fat is not enough. You try to do something with your water,
right?
But it's not water; it's fat.
Yeah.
You know, you can do, and so you do something extra. You will to get rid of water. That's not extra. Well, the water isn't there.
Right.
So you turn it turned out to be like even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you are not that ripped, and you're retaining water. So that's
Yeah. And they also mentioned in that show, too, that you were up for the He-Man. Was that a movie role you were going for at the time?
No, it's the first time I hear that.
Oh, really? Yeah. They said it on ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said, I heard he's up for He-Man. Yeah. I think Chris Dickerson was doing the commentary. He goes, he'd be like a good superhero.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to Barry DeMay for a really good interview. And we will have part two of his interview next week. And I also want to thank our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. And I also want to thank all of you who contribute to the show and help sponsor our show through Patreon. And if you would like to help contribute to the show, you can go to bodybuildinglegendshow.com, which is my website. And just look in the upper right-hand corner, and there is a link for Patreon. And you can contribute as little as $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you want to do. And I appreciate you guys considering that. And I also want to mention, Barry told me to mention this, his nutrition program that is available online is called DeMay88.com. So go to DeMay88.com. And as you heard in the interview we did with him, he talked about that a little bit. All right. Have a great week, everybody. And we will see you next week on the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. Take care.